Discouragement Part 2, Selected Scripture. We've been going through the pastoral epistles, and we just finished 1 Timothy, and we're going to launch into 2 Timothy soon. But before we do, we've been looking at the subject of discouragement, and this is Part 2 on this particular study. How do we deal with discouragement in our Christian life? If you read the Old and New Testament, many of the characters throughout the Bible dealt with discouragement. David was one in particular. In Psalm 42, verse 5, he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Even David is trying to talk to himself in this soliloquy when he says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so disturbed? Put your hope in God." And so, like David, we all battle discouragement in our life. Sometimes it happens in seasons in our life. Sometimes it can happen on a weekly basis, depending on the relationships that we're in, if we're in a difficult marriage or we're in a difficult job, or maybe we have a wayward child. Whatever it is, we can get discouraged on a regular basis. And there are typically signs of discouragement. You know this when you get to know somebody personally. Usually, you'll notice it on their countenance. Like, for example, Nehemiah, when you read chapter 1 of Nehemiah, he was discouraged. And the king noticed Nehemiah right away because he was familiar with him. He was the cupbearer. And he said, "Nehemiah, why are you downcast? Why are you sad? I can tell it in your body language. I can tell it in your face." And Nehemiah said, "Well, how can I not be discouraged and sad when the wall is torn down?" And of course, you know the story where God in his providence allowed Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the wall. And so people's countenance often is a sign that they're discouraged. Sometimes you'll notice it when people withdraw from people. Sometimes it's continual negative self-talk, or it's a lack of motivation in their life, a who cares attitude. Or sometimes they have an overly angry, negative, or critical spirit. These may be signs that a person is battling discouragement. And as Christians, we need to know how to deal with discouragement. We're going to wrestle with it until Jesus takes us home. But if we don't deal with discouragement regularly and know how to treat it biblically, we are going to be affected in our spiritual service towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I'm doing in this series is giving you the causes of discouragement along with the cure. By way of review, we said the first cause of discouragement, and by the way, this isn't an exhaustive list. There may be many more things, but I'm just giving you broad strokes. The first one I mentioned to you was fatigue. When you are physically, emotionally, or spiritually exhausted, you are more prone to discouragement. And so we said you need to have a balanced schedule and you need to take care of yourself physically. The Bible talks about this. It's not an unspiritual issue. Some Christians want to spiritualize everything to the point where they neglect the obvious and the practical. Secondly, we said another source of discouragement is frustrations in our life. When circumstances are not going our way, or we put all this effort into something or into a relationship and it fails, we get frustrated, and as a result, it leads to discouragement. Or we're tired of dealing with the same old issues. Or we work hard and we end up empty-handed. Our prayers are not answered. And we saw where the Apostle Paul and the crew that was with him on that ship on its way to Rome, they battled the frustration and subsequent discouragement because they gave up all hope of being saved. And then last time, and this is where we pick up, is failure. Failure is sometimes a cause of discouragement. We fail at a relationship. We fail at some type of endeavor in our life, some type of project. Whatever it is, we can often get discouraged due to failure, especially when failure is repetitive. Some people keep doing things over and over and over, and they don't seem to have success at all, according to their definition of success, and as a result, it leads to discouragement. And last time, we looked as an example the life of Moses. Moses was discouraged because he was called by God to go to Pharaoh, and he told the Pharaoh to let the people go. When God commissioned Moses to go to Pharaoh, he thought Pharaoh would let the people go right away. He had no idea that God was going to send probably all these plagues. Well, when he went to Pharaoh and he confronted him It actually made the circumstances worse. And the people of Israel, whom Moses told that God had come to deliver them, they were excited initially. But when they didn't get delivered right away, and Pharaoh made their circumstances worse by making them make brick without straw, it says in verse 9 of Exodus chapter 5, Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. And even Moses himself was discouraged because in chapter 5, verse 22, it says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? You told me to let the people go. Why have you brought this trouble on them? Is this why you sent me? I mean, did you send me here to fail? Ever since I went to Pharaoh," verse 23, "to speak in your name, he's brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." You can see the frustration in his heart, the discouragement. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of this country." In other words, Moses, it doesn't appear like you're being successful, but do what I told you to do. But Moses said to the Lord in verse 12, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with flattering lips?" See, he's discouraged here. Moses felt like a failure. He felt like he was inept. He was ineffective. He went to Pharaoh and he says, "Lord, I speak with flattering lips. I can't speak." That's why he wanted Aaron to be his spokesperson. And so failure. Sometimes we feel like a failure in life, and that leads to discouragement. Sometimes it's a failed marriage. You know, you try everything in your power and empower the Spirit to make the marriage work, and it doesn't because one partner is unwilling, and so you get discouraged from the failed relationship. Or maybe it's a job. You've worked really, really hard, and you end up getting let go, and you get discouraged because of the failure with your occupation. Or maybe it's school, or maybe it's a project. I remember when I went to Florida in my first church plant, I labored for 2 years solid, and the church plant didn't take off. Now, I could have stayed there and been bivocational and had a church of 20, 30 people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but my heart was full-time ministry. I didn't want to be bivocational, so I closed the church down, and I was discouraged because of the failure. So how do you deal with discouragement because of failure? Well, I think there are several things biblically. Number one, look for the positive in the negative circumstance. In other words, look for the positive in the failed situation that you're in. It's easy to focus on the failure and say, this is all the bad that took place, but you need to try to find the positive and the good that God can bring out of the circumstance. God can use failure for good in your life. We see this in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul is taking a negative circumstance. It wasn't a failure, but it was a negative circumstance, and he saw the positive in it of what God was doing. In verses 12 through 18 of Philippians 1, he says to the Philippians, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. I'm in jail." He could have said, "Woe is me, God, why are you allowing me in jail? I don't want to be in jail. I want to be mobile. I want to be preaching the gospel." He says, "Hey, my negative circumstance is actually advancing the gospel." Verse 13, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace garden to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ." See, because Paul was passionate about getting the gospel out, so he used his negative circumstances as a way to get the truth of Christ out. In verse 14, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." He's saying it has an evangelistic impact and it's having an edifying impact. Evangelistically, because I'm in jail, people are hearing the gospel. The Praetorian Guard is hearing. And because of my imprisonment, other Christians are being edified and emboldened to share their faith because they see my response. And so some would say, well, Paul was in a failed situation here. He was imprisoned. He couldn't do what he wanted to do. And yet Paul was able to look at the positive and the negative. He had a God perspective. And so maybe your failure has caused you to be discouraged. What I want to encourage you to do is look at the lessons and the good things that God is able to teach you. God is able to produce good from it. Another thing you can do if failure is causing discouragement in your life is learn from the failure and keep persevering. What are the lessons that God is trying to teach you? There's always something positive that God is teaching you, and you need to persevere in that. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Learn from the mistake. If it's a failure in your life and you were the cause of the failure, maybe you were the cause of the failed marriage. Maybe you were the reason why you got fired. Maybe you're the reason why you failed out of school. Listen, learn from that failure that's causing the discouragement and keep on persevering. Keep on keeping on. We see this in Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. There were Jewish Christians who were persecuted for their faith, and many of them wanted to stop running the race. And so the writer says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that is the people in chapter 11, all those people who were men and women of faith, those are the cloud of witnesses. It's not the people up in heaven cheering us on. The cloud of witnesses are the people in chapter 11. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders. And one of the hindrances in our life can be discouragement due to failure. He says, get rid of it and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance or endurance the race marked out for us. You see, God has us all in our own track. We are running the race. We are in our own lane. Jesus Christ is the finish line. That's when we get to heaven. When the gun was shot off and you took off, that's when you got saved. And now you're running this race. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have hurdles in your life. And that's why you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. And one of those hurdles is discouragement. So he says, fix your eyes on Jesus in verse 2 of Hebrews 12, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. If Jesus endured, we need to endure. Scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, consider him, verse 3, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, when we get discouraged from failure, we lose heart and we want to quit. When I failed in that church plant, there were many days I was discouraged and I was tempted to say, maybe I shouldn't go into the ministry, Lord. I didn't sign up for this. You see, we need to learn from the failure and keep on keeping on and persevering. Another thing you can do if failure has led to discouragement is ask God for comfort. The Bible says that God is a God of comfort. And you know what God will do? He will send people to you. He will give you a message from the Word. He will use a change of circumstances or something to encourage you. I love what 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 through 7 says. Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see, God comforts you so that you can comfort other people. And God is a God of compassion. So go to him and say, Father, I'm really discouraged over this failure. And I'm really struggling. I've been in this discouragement for weeks or months. Lord, I need you to dig me out of the pit. Lord, I need a word of comfort. And he says in verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. The greater the sufferings for the cause of Christ, the greater the comfort. Verse 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. Paul's saying, look, if we're distressed, God's going to comfort me, and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to comfort you, Corinthians. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, he says to the Corinthians, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings. Paul says, it's like a cycle here. God comforts me in my suffering. I take that comfort and I comfort you, Corinthians, and then you, Corinthians, praise God. In verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. And so we see in this section where God is a God of comfort. It says in verse 4, he comforts us in all our troubles. And God uses a multitude of things to comfort us. It doesn't mean he's always going to remove the trial. It doesn't mean that you can erase the failure, the failed relationship, the failed business endeavor, the failed schooling or circumstance, whatever it is, but God can comfort you in the midst of that. And so go to God and say, God, I need a word of comfort. I'm really, really struggling. And so maybe you're discouraged in your life because of a current failure or failures that have taken place. How do you deal with failure in your life? How do you get encouraged so you don't let your failure lead to discouragement? Look for the positive and the negative. Paul did that. Learn from the failure and keep persevering, and then ask God for comfort. He is a God of all comfort. And so what causes discouragement in our life? As Christians, we all deal with discouragement. We have to learn how to deal with it, because if we don't, it can cripple us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. First of all, discouragement is caused by fatigue. It is caused by frustration. It is caused by failure. Fourthly, discouragement can be generated by fear. Sometimes we get discouraged because we have a fear of criticism. We have a fear of failure. We have a fear of embarrassment. We have a fear of loss. We have a fear of harm. And oftentimes when you're discouraged, you tend not to think at the root cause of it. But if you look down at the root, sometimes fear is the root, and you need to deal with fear in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 through 7, Paul gives us a rare insight into his life and his discouragement. And when you think of the Apostle Paul, you think of a guy who never really struggled with discouragement. I mean, all of his letters he talks about were more than conquerors, and you need to fix your eyes on Jesus, and you need to set your mind on the things above. Well, listen, Paul at times did struggle with discouragement. He says in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, "For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn." When he came into Macedonia, which is northern Greece, that's where you have Philippi, you have Thessalonica, you have Berea up in that area. He said, "We had no rest. We were harassed at every turn." He was being persecuted. Conflicts on the outside. Here it is. Fears within. He was struggling with fear. Fear of persecution. Fear of death. Maybe fear of failure in the ministry in that area. We don't know exactly the fear. But notice what he says in verse 6. "But God, who comforts the downcast, the discouraged." He says, "I'm battling fear, but God comforts the downcast. He comforted us by the coming of Titus." You see, God uses other people to comfort us. He was struggling with fear. We don't know exactly what the fear was over, but he was being persecuted. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God sends Titus, and Titus comes with an encouraging message from the Corinthians that the Corinthians were doing better. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, familiar passage, Paul is motivating Timothy, and he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, Timothy, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for the Spirit of God gave us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline." Timothy was battling with timidity, with fear. And no doubt it was leading to discouragement in his life, because he has to challenge him. In verse 6, he says, "Fan into flame the gift of God, Timothy." Timothy was discouraged. He was pulling back. And he says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and self-discipline." Sometimes fear is the root of why we're discouraged. I remember back in 1991, I was just married, and about 4 months into my marriage, I was working at a hospital in Miami, Florida. I was delivering baby supplies throughout the neonatal department, and I got a call from my former Bible teacher in high school. I had been out of high school about 11, 12 years, and he called me. I was good friends with him, and he said, "Look, there's a vacancy in the Bible department. We had to ask the Bible teacher to leave, and Mike, I was wanting to know if you would be interested in filling this spot." Now, you have to understand, I never got my degree in Christian education. This was a private Christian school. I never taught kids before. I never had to grade grades. I never had to administrate like that. I knew God was calling me into full-time ministry to be a pastor, but this job was a unique opportunity to learn the Bible, teach the Bible, and so I accepted the job. And I remember the guy that they had let go before me, he was a great Bible teacher. He had graphics. This is before PowerPoint came out. He was very creative, and here I come in. I'm green. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm leading probably 150 kids in different classes, teaching them the Bible. I had no idea what I was doing. I was scared to death. And I can still remember in my mind's eye going out to dinner with my wife, and I'm sitting there very, very discouraged because of the fear in my heart. I was scared. I thought I was going to fail. I didn't know how I would come off to the kids. I didn't know if they'd like me. I didn't know if I'd be effective. You see, that fear was creating the discouragement in my life. And eventually, through persevering and trusting God and failing and getting back up and learning, I was able to overcome the discouragement. Now, I'm not saying that I never got discouraged after that. There were times where I did get discouraged. And so, if you want to deal with discouragement in your life due to fear, one of the things that you need to do is to persevere and trust in God's sovereignty and depend upon His power. You have to realize that God has not given you fear, and you have to reject fear in your mind. Fear can be all-encompassing. It multiplies. It controls you. It's like an octopus with its tentacles on you. It'll choke the spiritual and emotional life out of you if you leave fear unchecked. And the way you deal with fear is you say, I am not going to let fear rule my life. I'm going to trust the Lord because God has not given me a spirit of fear. And Lord, I'm going to trust in Your sovereignty. I'm going to trust in You. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. Fear is often generated by living by sight, looking at our circumstances. And when we let fear control us, it leads to discouragement. And so you got to get your eyes off of the fear, and you must trust in the Lord. And that means you must control your thought life, and you must depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, I trust in Your power. Even though I'm feeling fearful right now, I choose not to live by those feelings, and I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to trust You. I could have said to this former Bible teacher that I had, no, I don't want to take the job because I was scared. And then that would have led to more discouragement because I didn't take the job and I would have felt like a failure. And so you must deal with your fears. And some Christians are ruled by fear. They're ruled by worry. They're ruled by anxiety. And that leads to discouragement in their life. Well, there's another cause of discouragement in our life, and that is faulty thinking. Many times our emotions and our behavior are the direct byproduct of our thought life. If we have stinking thinking, if we're not setting our mind on things above, we're not cultivating a disciplined mind, and our thoughts are dominated and saturated by our negative circumstances or the people that we're around, that can lead to faulty thinking, and faulty thinking leads to discouragement. And that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I know it's harder to focus our thoughts when we're discouraged. It's easier said than done because we get flooded with discouraging thoughts. But one of the keys is we must change our thinking. And you must get into the Word of God. You must get into the Scriptures and meditate on the Word of God so that God's Word will saturate our thinking and we will see things from God's perspective. We must renew our mind, as Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says. We must set our minds on things above, Colossians chapter 3 says. See, that helps us to deal with faulty thinking. And many times when you talk to people that are discouraged or they've been in a state of discouragement for a long period of time, you will find that they have stinking thinking. And one of the ways to eradicate that or deal with that is to meditate on the Word of God, to listen to Christian praise music, to praise God verbally and declare the wonders of who He is, and to focus in on the greatness of your God. That helps with the faulty thinking. Now again, some of this is linked because if you're fatigued and you're not getting enough rest and you're not taking care of yourself physically, this can affect your faulty thinking, and as a result, you will be discouraged. And so maybe your discouragement is caused by faulty thinking. Now next time, we're going to look at the remainder of the sources of discouragement in our life. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have reason to be discouraged because the Bible says, God forbid, if you die without knowing Jesus Christ, you're going to be eternally separated from God. And that should cause you to be discouraged, but yet it should cause you to be hopeful, because here's the hope. The Bible says if you're willing to admit your sin, Turn from your sin and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose from the dead. If you're willing to confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, God will forgive you and give you the gift of eternal life.